Blog Talk Radio.
Of course, I'm having a little challenge. Let me cancel this part out. I'm going to get started in a moment. Just give me a little bit of time because I am, let me bring on, I'm like, my screens are frozen. And I can't climb off. And I don't want to exit out of anything. So let's see here. Let me go here and just start this.
Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadek. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
so I think that I'm in a loop here, and I'm going to stay on Blog Talk as we continue on, but I'm going to jump off of StreamYard because it seems as though I'm stuck. I don't know why. That's the only screen I'm stuck on. So I'm going to log off of my StreamYard, and we're going to jump right back on. I hope you can hear me. If you can, put a finger in it because I'm going to be right back. Okay, so I've started that part. Thank you all for joining us here today. I know that you're not typically used to spoofas, I know I'm not, but I hope that I can get back into the studio on Blog Talk. You know, this is a situation where we can actually have a movie. That's what we're doing. We're having a movie. So I'm back, and let me see if I can bring in our executive director, Naima Latif. Naima, are you ready?
Well, good afternoon.
I have no clue what happened. I got stuck in a loop. I couldn't exit out of anything. It was just a hot, double hot mess. But we're here, and I want to welcome you all to the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. That's what we, you know, if you're on Blog Talk, you're just hearing us. But we've got a presence that is like a television show, you know, how you turn on your TV and you can see people. They may not be able to see you, but you can see people. So we're so glad that you're able to join us here as you move around with Deborah today. You know, the world is at our fingertips, and all you have to do is reach out by the wide world web at some point or another. Or you can just get on the phone and call your expert travel advisor. We always encourage you to get that travel advisor because you're so busy with your day-to-day doing what you are an expert in. So we want you to have that travel advisor and express to them your travel desires. Now, they are just advising. They don't necessarily book for you if you're not interested. But if you just have a question or concern or a situation, that's what the travel advisors are there for. You have a legal problem, you go to your legal team. We are professional travel advisors, and we pride ourselves in knowing what is going on in the travel industry. This industry, I tell you, it's like hot potatoes. You go into an airport or to a train station or even on the roadways, and it is full. And whether you're traveling for business or pleasure by plane, train, bus, automobile, bicycle, or spacecraft, you need to learn the best strategies for planning. That's a key word. Write it down. Oh, did I tell you to make sure you have your paper and pencil available? Mm-hmm. Write it down so you can plan your trip and enjoy your journey. That's what it's about. Now, today we're going to talk and continue our conversation about women because, of course, this is Women's Month. Every month is Women's Month. You know, every month is everybody's month. But we're focusing
on every month.
Every month. Every day, every moment. Hello. You know, we empower women. We want to continue our affirmations. We want to provide that assertion, be in a declarative state and have joy. Have joy in your life. And especially, we talk about it as we're traveling the globe. So we're going to talk again briefly for the first hour or so about travel and the importance of how you travel, when you travel, where you travel, and what you can do for travel. And then we're going to talk about how you could take travel and be mobile. You know, a lot of people, they're stuck in a structure. They go to a 9-to-5. They get up every morning, same time. They do the same thing every time, They catch the train on time. They get on the highway on time because, you know, if you get on that highway 5 minutes later, you're going to be stuck there for an hour. But there are so many positions in this world where you could be mobile for your business. And sometimes we don't even realize it. Being a realtor, a healthcare provider, a reporter, a photographer. Even a notary.
When I think of the places I've traveled doing news reporting overseas, you know, in Japan, in Korea.
Many places.
And I think people don't always think about a job being a travel job unless something like an airline. They don't say stewardess anymore. What is it?
Flight attendant. Yeah.
But that's not the only job where you're required to travel. I have a relative that's an accountant, but she works for the government where they have to audit different companies. So she's got to go
across the country
to these different companies and audit their books. That's a travel job. You have to travel in your work because people live different places, and then they live someplace else. You have to go to them.
Absolutely. And isn't it nice to have that flexibility?
Yes.
Instead of going to that office and getting off that elevator or going into that classroom.
One thing I've noticed, though, for people who do travel at their work, they become very efficient in knowing how to organize their things. My cousin, she's the one who has the accounting business, and we had to go out of town for a funeral. And, I mean, she was so efficient, you know, had herself packed, ready, and I guess because she does it all the time, you know, exactly what to put in the bag, you know, exactly how much clothes you need, you know, how to time yourself to get to the airport. So when you're doing a lot, you learn how to be effective at it because you have to do it all the time.
Yes. You have to, I kind of keep a bag packed.
Yeah.
You know, especially your essentials. So, like maybe extra medication or
always have a toothbrush.
Exactly.
Change
the clothes.
Change all
of that. And it's really convenient. It doesn't take up a lot of space. You can have one bag because you never know when you have to grab that bag. Sometimes we even carry that bag in our vehicle.
That's a good thing to have, an emergency bag, because you never know. You could be going anywhere and something happens, you can't get back home.
Right.
You never know. Especially in wintertime, snowing.
Mm-hmm.
You never know if it gets snowing. You went to visit somebody across town and a blizzard happened and you can't get back home.
Right. Or you could be on the road. You can be on the highway. We've been in that situation. Look at the weather challenges that are going on across in Denver and Utah, where they've gotten all that snow just here in the last week. You know, we've been in the Midwest. We haven't experienced that type. We're like, snow? Where did it snow?
Mild winter here in Chicago, but I can remember many years back, when I was working out in the suburbs down in Northbrook, so bad, I realized I could not get home. I had to stop and spend the night at a hotel.
Yes.
So you never know when you might have to spend the night someplace. You didn't plan on it.
No.
You have your essentials that you need when you spend the night.
No, you never plan on travesties or situations. But if you prepare, if you be prepared, you know, we got a friend, he's gone on. Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
There you go.
Thank you, Derek. I love it. I love it. So, yes, and that's all part of planning. It is so essential. You planned on being here today. You planned on what you were going to wear. You plan on what you're going to eat. You plan on what you're going to watch on television. That's why you're here. So planning is essential in everyday life as well as travel. And talking about planning, I always say that the airport is your first destination. And today I wanted to talk about what services the airport have to share. A lot of people think the only thing the airport does is get your luggage, take you on the airplane from one point to another, and that's it, that's all. Oh, no. It was not until one of my clients had a situation where he parked in the parking lot, the extended parking lot. They were gone for a couple of weeks. And he knew, now he had an app. Here's another thing. He had an app on his car through his phone where he could tell that his battery was low.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So he knew that he was in another part of the country, but he knew that his battery was low at the airport, and he did not. He wanted exactly. Even though he got AAA and all that, but did you know that most parking garages at the airport provide complimentary jump starts?
I'll keep that in mind.
Yes. Now, one thing he wanted to make an appointment. Okay, my flight is going to land at this time. I'll get my bags and I can be at my car at this time, and that's when I want the service there. Well, they don't work like that.
Yeah.
When you get to your vehicle and you find that there's something awry, that's when you call. And it's again, complimentary. Now, let me touch base. Let me shift a little bit. I'm always shifting. We do more than one thing at one time. That's why I forget so much. But giving gratuities. Now, it's a complimentary service. You know, thank the person who was there in the middle of the winter or in the middle of the summer. The heat is excruciating. The other people, you know, customer service, some folks, when they're distraught, they don't realize that they lose the customer care.
Yeah.
Give them a gratuity. It's okay. Give them a tip. And we should tip, yes, they are getting paid. That is their job. Yes, I agree. But what a wonderful opportunity that they wanted to have a job, to be there, to be able to help you. Thank you. You know, you go to a restaurant, you tip. You know, I got into a deep conversation with my nail technician about tipping because he had just arbitrarily, I don't know if he was speaking to somebody else around, because I always take care of my people because I want them to take care of me. But he was saying how people don't tip. And I'm like, well, you can't be mad because people don't tip.
It's not mandatory.
Right.
You know, it's courtesy. And culturally, it is developed as a way to encourage good service. So even though you should give good service all the time, and I know in some countries that's not practiced at all because the idea is you're supposed to give good service all the time. And you're supposed to get paid what is comparable for your work. So tipping isn't part of the culture. But here, that's something that is hoped for in certain positions, certain professions.
Yes.
But still not mandatory. And so I've seen that attitude, too. If people cheat, they don't tip, you know, or, you know, I even had a friend that was a waitress, and some people came in, and, you know, she was kind of not really wanting to serve, they hardly ever leave a tip. You know, there were young people, and they don't have any money and all that. But still, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You don't know what people have.
Right.
You don't know what they might give you in terms of a tip, even if they're young and you think, oh, they're broke, they don't have anything. You still got to give them good service. And if they don't leave a tip, so what?
Right.
You know, your service represents you. But I've seen people kind of get an attitude.
Because they don't get, it's not an assumption. You know, you don't, I mean, there are rules. There is an etiquette list of it, but it's not mandatory. It was at one point when you cruised that you could or could not tip. Now they kind of are leaning more on the mandatoriness of tipping, of paying the gratuities.
So what do you think about these restaurants that added to the bill or give you a suggestion? You can be 15%, 20%, or 25%. You have to check one, or the ones that just automatically add in the 15%. What do you think about that?
I think that that's their business. That's the way they want to run their business. So be it. And make sure you read your receipt before you pay your bill. Because some people don't pay attention to their receipt. And if it's a line item, sometimes it's a line item on the bottom. Sometimes it's suggested.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is included, then you know, unless you want to, you don't have to pay anymore because it's already taken care of. Go ahead on. Now, I went out last night, and I noticed that, you know, not paying attention to before, because typically I just pay my waitress. I give my waitress my tip. I'll pay with my credit card my bill, but I give the waitress or the waiter cash. I noticed last night, the hostess sat us. The waiter took our order.
Uh-huh.
But another gentleman brought our food, and there was another young lady making sure that our drinks were in order, and she was clearing the plate, the empty plate. So now that's four people
that actually were involved.
Right, and that's why they always accumulate those tips at the end of the day and disperse them accordingly.
And you hope that they are doing it fairly, too. I mean, it's on the ownership, you know, management to make sure everybody gets their tips.
But if someone does something extra special for you, it's okay to give them a little bit more.
And what I like to do in those situations, like you said, to them directly, you know, hand them the cash. Just, you know, you can leave a tip for the, I mean, this might not happen often or it might happen often. You can leave a tip on the table for the waitress and then the bus boy come to take the money. I mean, you know,
yeah,
that can happen, and you can intend for that. And you know, you left the money, you're gone. So if you really want to make sure they get it, you might want to just wait for the company to hand it to them.
I am a little perplexed and understand more clearly. I never paid attention to it, and if you live longer enough, you know that's probably been the practice all along. I've never paid attention to it. Because the only restaurant job I had was at a barbecue house when I was 17. And we wasn't getting the tips. I was back there cutting up the french fries.
Yeah. Well, you've done a hard
work. Right, right. But they were equally working.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, if it's the practice of a particular establishment, if that is their practice, who are we to say we don't agree with it? How we can show that we don't agree with it If there's some bad service or something crazy, you could certainly mention that. But we could show that we don't agree with it by not frequenting that place.
And, you know, I was on the word now. Younger people, millennials, all of they know that most places have a place online where you can rate them. And that's something a lot of people might not be in a habit of, but I know. And everything tends to, you can see it different than an age group in terms of how you handle things. I see a lot of younger people before they go someplace, they look at what's the rating, you know. And so as a consumer, you actually have more power to determine if someone improves their service by the ratings you give them, because there are people who look online and see what are their ratings, what are the customers saying about their service, you know, before they even go on. So it's always a good practice if you own a place to make sure your employees are treating people well, because they, like you just said, if people don't like what you did, they just stop coming.
Right.
So,
right.
Make sure that you don't have employees with an attitude that's chasing away the business.
And you have to know, you have to educate your employees too. Something that we find is people don't know better. They don't do better because they don't know better. You know, if you're not being trained as a worker the way I want you to work my establishment, then I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. You know, and that's not good, but that's how it is. So if you were not trained, everybody trained, even though you may have a degree in accounting, but when you go and work for another company, if you work for another company, they're going to teach you how they want you to work. So they're going to train you, and they're going to spend that training dollars. You know, you may be trained a week, a 2 weeks, a month. It may vary depending on the position, but they're going to train you. And that's how it should be with everyone else. Just because you go into a shoe store, you assume they know how to measure you. You assume they know how to do things, but you can't hold on to that assumption.
Right.
Excuse me. No, you that's not good. So what do we do? We understand and we patronize who we want, and if we don't, we go on to the next person. But also understand, you know, we are in a culture now that is shifting to business owner and entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So know how you'd like to be treated.
Yeah.
And in turn, that's how you learn how to treat others.
That's true. You know, one thing I would say, if a person is out of courtesy to an owner, if you really felt like the service was bad, you know, ask to speak to management, the owner or whatever, and then tell them what you experienced and give them an opportunity to correct it. I would say do that before you just say, I'm never coming back here. Because sometimes, you know, you do have to make some staff adjustments when you find out somebody is not good with customers, or maybe they just have a bad day, need to take some time off, whatever it is. But give the owner the courtesy of letting them know. Give the owner the courtesy of letting them know what the problem is before you decide to never go back. And especially if you think of the place that might have really been good, the one for that, you know, nasty waiter or something, you know. But, my sister and my cousin, they went out to a place last night, and the people handling the, what is it called when you drive a person's car? The valet. Valet parking was rude. And so they said, you know, we're not even going in. And they didn't. And, you know, they told the owner about it.
Yeah, because that affects his bottom line.
Yeah.
So even though that valet service may not be employed by that restaurant, they are still a reflection of that restaurant. So now it behooves the management of the restaurant to make sure that these people are in order.
They take away business from coming in the door. That's money
just
went down the street somewhere else.
Exactly. Because now you know you're hungry, so you're going to go to somewhere.
You're going to go to some place, but it just might not be that place.
It won't be that place. And they'll think again about going there next time.
That's right.
So we're gonna step away for our first break. We got to go to our commercial sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Comments, I guess you can bring up after we come back.
Okay, sure, we'll.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters. We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and update our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, I'm Naima. And if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everyone. Friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection. Somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. Home repair, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media. Just follow this link. And tomorrow, you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
All righty then.
Yes. I'm excited about it. Thank you all for joining us today on the Female Solution and Move Around with Deborah. We are conversing today, talking about mobile travel and how many positions you can have in the mobile field. We are just talking about valet. That is someone who is always moving around. They may have to go to a stationary place, but wow, isn't it amazing how many different vehicles you can drive you have to know how to drive a stick, an automatic and a manual vehicle. I don't know if they have many manual vehicles anymore. But then do you have to know where you could plug a vehicle up if it's low on electricity? You know, these are some of the things that you are mobile, but yet at a job or a business, because it could be your business. Now, you say we have some guests. We're excited to hear.
Comments. go to your comments. You'll see a few people.
Oh,
that
okay.
Have...
Now I'm in my comments and I don't see them.
Oh, I'm seeing them on Facebook.
Okay.
Viata, Brian, yeah, seeing a few.
I don't see them. Can you share them, or if you can just say what they got to say.
I'll just share what.
Yeah.
Well, Viata from this great show. I love the vibrating orange.
Yes, it's contrasting with the green, the money green, because we're going to be talking to the tax doctor a little bit later. Yes. You all thought that green was for something else. I know.
Yes, hey, green tax, there we need to talk about that.
All right.
Hi, sister, join us at home. How are you? God bless you, she says. Yes.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you both for sharing those statements. We really appreciate it. We are grateful for everyone who is watching us. And if you want to join into the conversation, please feel free to contact us. We've got a couple of numbers here that you can call in, 515-605-9325. That's for Blog Talk. Just press 1 to say you want to talk about it, or
727-731-5192.
It's scrolling at the bottom in that bright lime green color that you see. Just pick up and share. And share. Like, share, subscribe. And when you get a chance, ring that bell, because we love to grow and learn together and have peace in this world, because this world is so crazy. So we were talking about earlier about the services that airports have. And I know that we have some local airports, say O'Hare. They have, of course, you know, the shops, the restaurants, but did you know there were business offices, yoga centers, beauty parlors, barbershops, spas, a sports center at O'Hare? And not only that, there are Denver, Colorado, which is, I don't know if they're still snowed in.
Oh,
amen. But they have some things where you could even take a shower. You know how sometimes you get those long layovers and you just, you need to refresh. You might have been stuck on that plane and just got feel sticky, icky. And there are some lounges that you can even take a shower, and you don't have to be a specific person who flies with a specific airline. You just ask, you know, airline, but each airport, you can go onto their website. They all have websites. And on there, you can see their services. You can see what services, what unique services. Of course, they're all museums in their own right. You can see what airlines fly into those airports. Say, for example, we have a small airport in our Midwest, Rockford. And the Rockford Airport doesn't get a lot of props. Rockford, Illinois is, I think it's about 60 miles west of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an airport, and the Rockford Airport does quite a bit tour a smaller airport. You can do that at Rockford. You can just reach out to them, let them know you have a group of youth, or especially the youth. That, you know, let's get them exploring what it is to fly, or, you know, experience that, and let them know, and they'll do some tours of the terminal for you. And because they are a smaller airport and they don't always have big commercial planes, it is an international airport. That's something that is key in when we're traveling. You can fly internationally from Rockford, but I have had the opportunity to fly out of the Rockford airport. I drove to Rockford early in the morning and got on a charter plane. But they have destinations to Fort Myers, Punta Gorda, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Nashville, Orlando, Phoenix, Sarasota, Tampa, St. Pete. So you can get some updated information about what's going on at Rockford. And, of course, they have valet parking. Most airports have valet parking. You know, most of them do. They're getting back to it. They had it in abundance before we all got shut down, but now they're getting back involved. You know, once they start getting the employees back or getting the corporations, the businesses who want to contract to do that. Hello, I'm talking to you entrepreneurs. You can take a contract. If this is a service you provide, who's to say you're not hooked up with an airline, an airport, where you can do their valet services for them? Another service that you can have that I found is when we travel internationally. A lot of times we are not familiar with the language, the transportation, the money, but we all want to go somewhere else. So there is an airportEliteServices.com. Now, I never use them. I'm not referring them to you. I'm just stating that this is an opportunity for you to reach out to them. And what they do is they have a meet and assist group that will assist you. You can contact for airport lounges, for chauffeurs. Excuse me. But they have, again, their airporteliteservices.com. And they're all over the European, Dubai, all over overseas. So you can reach out to them. Another group that I just love. I love these people.
You have reached the On Air Radio Network. Please state your name, and you will be entered into our studio.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm telling you this technology today. But Club Mobe is when you're going into Jamaica. Everybody wants to go to Jamaica. So Club Mobe is offering services, VIP lounge membership for arrivals and departures. And you can get a bundle. And that is something that will complement your journey to Jamaica, make things smooth. You know how you have to be at the airport 2 hours before your flight lands? What are you doing? So there's a lounge that you could attend, and they feed you, they want you to, you know, relax, get massages, all kinds of service, get flight updates. And when you arrive, this is exciting, they will, instead of you standing in the line for the international, for customs and whatnot, They'll just shuffle you around and get you past all of those long lines and, you know, just VIP service. I just love it. Don't you want VIP service when you're traveling, especially if you're hanging out with your family and your family will say, oh, you did this for us? Yes. So the airport, beyond the airlines, the actual airports have a wealth of information and opportunity for you to experience. And I just love it when you're able to reach out and see opportunities that are there for you. So don't pass up those airports. They are definitely there to help you. Beyond the wheelchair service, there is one airport that there's a statement where it's an unnoticed handicap or physical challenge. You might be hard of hearing or have partial blindness or you know, something that's not noticeable where it's hard for you to be mobile or totally blind. Well, this is an organization where they will identify with you, and they'll give you a little sticker.
You might take a sip of water.
Yes, I did. And then other people who work, they will notice that sticker, and they'll notice that you need a little extra service. I think that is.
That's fabulous. That's the important thing when you talk about customer service. Pay attention to your customers. Sometimes people don't know to ask for help, but you need to see if they need help.
Right.
So somebody, like especially a senior person struggling with something, you know, ask for help. Especially, you know, well, like my story, I was traveling, and I was in, what country was I in? I was in China, and I didn't know how to work the machine for public transportation. Because it's a little different than, you know, CPA.
And
I'm, you know, panicking because I'm like, okay, now what do you do and how do you do this? Even though they had translations in English, but I didn't understand. And, of course, the confusion on my face. Someone knew, okay, you know, that was they going. And they ain't here. So, yeah, I don't look like I'm from here. So some random person just, you know, stopped and took the time and helped me. Ticket that I needed to get on the train because I didn't know, and it really heightened my awareness of what's missing in probably a lot of American cities. And I'm thinking, there are no translations,
right?
How do you even know where you're going? I need to explain to you how you get your little ticket out of the machine to get on the train. If you don't know, you're not going to know. And if you're standing there, you don't have people who know what they're doing. You know, do they have people that are there to help? Because they used to have people in the booth that would come out and help you. They don't do that now. You got to go and say, well, I need help.
I need help.
Yeah.
Right.
And
I need help.
They're sitting there, and they don't come out to help you. You're looking pitiful and lost. They don't care. unless it's an attentive person who understands customer service, and they see that you are a traveler that doesn't know how to work the machine, and they will come out and show you. We definitely need more of that. You know, when people are traveling and they're from someplace else, they don't always know how to do the things and work the machines and the equipment and everything that everybody else knows because they're doing it all the time.
And look how many foreign people who are not familiar.
You know, I mean, things changed on public transportation. My car was in the shop, I had to take a bus away. I didn't really know, okay, how do you do this? How do you do the thing? Okay, I'm trying to do the credit card thing where you can use your card
Right, and what if you don't have a credit card? How do you get on the bus?
But how does it work? Or you have the thing on the side? Okay, all these different changes. You might live in a city, but you haven't been on the transportation system in a while. They've made some changes, and you don't know because, I mean, they just said, you don't ride the train.
You don't ride.
So you have to have people who are ready to help those who don't just automatically know how things work.
And it's okay. If you don't ask the question, you'll not know.
You won't know.
And it's so if you have that question, somebody else has that question too.
I always say it in the classroom. You know, don't be afraid to ask somebody else thinking that same question. Whichever one of you all is courageous enough to say it first, you're going to help everybody else.
Right, and repeat. You know, that question may have been answered, and some people are afraid to answer it again, thinking that they'll be looked upon as, you know, not smart.
Yes.
But don't feel that way. Because sometimes it has to be restated in a different way.
And, you know, that's the point. I would urge anybody who is a teacher, that's also public service. Yep. Same thing, customer service.
Yep.
Students are your customers. If you think you taught something and your student asks you the thing that you think you taught, do not reprimand them. You must not have been paying attention. I told you all that. You should know this. Whether they were distracted when you said or whether they didn't understand a word you said when you said it, which means the whole meaning was lost, whatever it is, just answer it again.
Right.
Maybe rephrase it and then ask them if they understood it. Ask them to restate it so that you can know that you taught them. Because if you say you taught something and they didn't understand it, that means you didn't teach it. Don't fuss at them if they didn't understand it. Just restate it.
Right
away. Just ask them to repeat it back to you to make sure they comprehend it.
Right.
That is teaching. Don't get your ego up because somebody said they didn't hear something or they don't know something. I taught these people about.
And we understand the frustrations of repetitiveness, but we have to, you know, we have to get past it.
Yeah. In the classroom, same thing. And you think of it that way, the student is your customer. The customer is always right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is they need, then do your best to give it to them. Don't say, well, you should have that. You should know that. How come you weren't paying attention when I said it? You know, I mean, if a flight attendant, after they explain all the stuff, this is what you do, and, you know, the oxygen mask, and something happens and your mask comes down, they need you to put it on, and you can't figure out how to do it, they're not going to say, I told you.
Right.
That.
No, they can help you.
Problem and not bring it because you weren't paying attention or whatever the case was, you didn't understand. They're going to help you. You help people.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's one more thing I wanted to mention about the airport service.
Yeah.
In some airports, primarily, I've seen this in the Florida airport.
Yeah.
They have machines.
On the Florida again, so yeah, tell me what you think.
Because of the people who live in third world countries like the Caribbean, on the islands, most of them don't have the big box stores.
Mm.
So they have to come to Florida and purchase, you know, bulk supplies, like bulk household supplies and that type of thing. Well, in shipping it back, they have to have it, you know, they can't take it back in the Walmart bag. So they have those machines that will shrink wrap or it's not shrink wrap. It's like tape wrap. It's a clear.
Oh, okay.
In a vat, and they'll wrap it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I've seen those in certain kinds of places. I think like UPS or something like that where they do ship.
Yeah.
I think I've seen those.
Mm-hmm. But in these cases, I've seen them at airports.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yes. So you definitely utilize the services that are provided for you at airports. Research, when you're planning and you're not going to use a travel advisor, research your airport, your local airport. You're going to be leaving out of that airport or the airport you're going to be flying into. See what type of services they have. In some cases, forgive me.
Yes. And one thing I wanted to say also about a recent trip I had, and hey, you know, shout out to Southwest Airlines. I'm going to say whether it was good or bad, I was going to tell everybody on your show. And I accidentally left my laptop in the TSA area, you know, I had to take everything out your bag and put it in the bin and all that stuff. But somehow forgot to put the laptop back in my backpack. And I didn't realize until I got off the plane. I'm like, oh, this backpack is off the flight. And I opened up, oh, my God, I left it. You know, I'm panicking because, you know, you think a laptop is expensive. How honest are people going to be to give it back? And Florida, where I traveled to. And he tried to call the office, but of course the office was closed, and he said, well, you know, I'm only getting an answering machine. And then he said something that didn't really make me feel, but he said, well, you know, I lost the iPad, and they said, well, we looked for BSP, and I never got it back. And I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, you know, and of course, you think all kinds of things, but what can I do with all my information's on and so forth and so on. And I called one number, and it was hard to get through because, you know, there's so many things are voicemail. So they said, well, call and report if you have a lost item. I called, I reported a loss. I went online and filled out the lost thing, you know, and say go online, fill out, you know, where you left it at, all that. I'm like, is anybody really going to be honest? And then when I finally got through to a person, it was the travel department that handles lost things on the public transportation. She said, well, the reason that you're getting all these, they don't have the staff in their office that handles lost and found the way we have in the transportation department.
All right.
They have it. So they can only work in those narrow hours in between, I think, 8 and 4 or something like that, and that's all they have. So they said, you just have to wait till the office hours and then call back and see if they, and if you filed it online, you know, they should look and see that you did file a claim and help you. And I'm thinking for those 2 or 3 days, I was thinking, oh, my laptop is gone. You know, but it so happened when I did get to the office, they had located the laptop and they had held it for me. And so I went to the, you know, when I got back in Chicago, I was able to pick it up. And so I was going to say, I'm grateful that they really do have a system where they will hold your things. And that she opened up a cabinet, had a whole bin full of laptops. I'm like, oh, it's not me. So they really do. And plus there's cameras all over the place. So there is no high staff, even though you might think, because you're so used to people stealing. But they were very organized. They had it labeled and all that sort of thing. And I had to show my ID, and they verified it was mine.
Oh, good.
And that was good. So
that was a blessing. You know, it was because you weren't supposed to do any work while you were gone.
That's what I said. See, then God was saying, see, you don't need to be. You ain't come down here to work. So you don't need to have it.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, I'm grateful for the experience and just observing, you know, first of all, learning some things. You know, when people don't answer your calls, not because they're ignoring your calls, they don't have staff.
They don't have staff. You know,
yeah.
The restaurant is empty, but you've got to wait because they don't have staff.
Don't take it personally if people don't answer a phone or all you get is a voicemail or they don't return your call. It's all about, do you have people that can do that? And if they don't, then let's wait till they have people. And then if they give you good service after they have people, then you're okay. They're going to give you good service, but you need to be patient.
Pack your patience. That's one of the things you have to put in your suitcases, packing your patience is so key. Well, I know it's time for our next commercial break. Do we have anyone before I go?
If you are on our switchboard, press 1. Don't wait till 5 minutes to 2, and then you've got something to say, because we're not going to be able to let you talk that long.
Not at all. And the next the next 30 minutes is going to be full and in living color. Let's trust and believe. It's going to be jammed packed. I already see our studio is filling up. We have our special guest. One of our special guests, I'm so proud of her. So let's go to the commercial break, because you know we have to satisfy our folks. we have to take care of the children. You know, now is the time for our children to be serviced. So here we go.
Attention all talented teens ages 13 and 14. Are you ready to show the world what you got? This will team time contest where you win cash prizes and stop. Here's how to participate. 1. Record a 1-minute video of yourself performing your talent. 2. Upload the video, link in description or comment. 3. Submit your video by the deadline.
Nothing is given, everything is given. Okay, you know what? I'm not sure what's going on with my audio today. It is not going to take over what we've got to do today. So I want to thank you all for being here again on the Female Solution, a blog talk, and we're just excited to bring to you our next special guest with Move Around with Deborah. You know, as we continue this conversation of women, women empowered, women having affirmations, assertions, declarations, and just being joyful, I thought of this person. I am so proud to have our own Tavie Styles. Hello, Miss Tavie.
Hey, how
are you?
I'm doing real.
I am so glad that you're here, educator. Let me get, you know, I did not share with the folks if you wanted to have them reach out to you, but that's something that you're going to have to share with me as we go. But okay. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy, super busy schedule. I tell you, you are, excuse me, someone who is always on the move. For as long as I have known you as a young lady, and now you are a woman, and being in your own right, always an entrepreneur, always doing your business, being about your business, and encouraging others to be about their business. And it is just such an affirmation just to know you. You know, we have an affirmation that we write up, we type up, and we put on the mirror, and we have it here and we have it there. But knowing some people, they are affirmations in themselves, and I am again. Thank you for taking the time being here. You're a busy young lady. You're an educator now.
Yes, I am.
Are you excited?
I am. It's like I've been around the world. Like I'm so honored. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me on the show, because you know travel is like one of my passions. Like seriously. And I took that same passion that I had, and I took it from out of my personal life, and I put it into my business life. So I've seen a lot of people who were at a space where they needed a stylist to travel to them, and I was a licensed professional, so I was able to travel to different people and come into their space and help them to exemplify a new style in their life. And with me doing that, it transitioned from not just me going to style, but for me going to nursing homes, for me going into hospitals, for me going into homes where people were bedbound, because I was seeing the hurt. In America, you know, we have homelessness and we have a lot of different social issues going on here. But when you go overseas and you see a lot of the social injustices and it's more exemplified, or the poverty is more, or the sicknesses are more, it kind of hit home, and it really makes your heart and your soul, like, leak for the people, and your pulse of your heartbeat, like, really have compassion for the people. And so when I got back home, when I would go overseas and I would go to these different countries, because I've been to about 13 or 14 countries, and I've been to about 43 states. So I'm very traveled. I'm very experienced. And in me traveling to these different places, it's tied into my why. So my why, I don't have any kids. I don't have any offspring. I'm not, like, grinding out here trying to do this for my kids or my legacy or anything like that. My goal as a human being was to reach my highest potential as a human being. So that has always been, like, my cap, or that has always been my why am I getting out the bed? Why am I keep going? What makes me keep going when I don't feel like it? That has always been my why. So with traveling, yes, fun. You can turn up. You can go to different spots. You can learn the different languages. You can eat the different foods. You can party at the new spot. But it's like when you get through, when you have been around the world, what are you doing to bring all of those different energies that you're getting from around the world and bottling it up and bringing it back home? I'm not talking about sneaking for food in the country, trying to get past customs. I'm not talking about trying to put some lick in your bag because you can't get it here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how do we as people, as travelers, bottle up the energy, the gift that we've given of life and time to spend with these different people from different cultures and bring it back to our home city. So that's something that was very dear on my heart. So for my life, business and travel and who I am, it's all mixed in one. So I'm like a blended smoothie. So when it comes down to health and fitness, when it comes down to traveling, when it comes down to business, and even what you were saying about infrastructure, because those are infrastructure ideas and revolutions that need to be made for different companies. And sometimes when we are on a journey of personal development, and we're trying to develop and develop and develop to reach our highest potential as a human being, not for our kids, not for our neighbors, not for our mothers, not for our fathers, but we're trying to reach our highest potential as a human being to prove to our maker and to say thank you. You know, because we have to be grateful for the life that we're given.
Yeah.
So when you have a heart of gratitude, it's so important, I believe, to take the time to bottle up that energy that we get from this state, that country, this place, and how do we recycle that energy and pour into the people that's in our community? How do we give back with our gifts, our talents,
yes,
our abilities, and our resources? So those are some things that I have always challenged myself personally in a day-to-day life. So for me, I'm at a space, like, when it comes down to working out and health and fitness, that is really health and wellness. You know, my grandmother, God bless her, because she is, like, about 98 right now, and she's very healthy, doesn't walk on a cane, absolutely gorgeous hair, absolutely gorgeous skin, in her right mind, like, everything, funny as ever. And with her, she used to follow Dr. Fulton. Dr. Fulton was a very well-known naturopathic doctor on the south side of Chicago. And I grew up with her teachings and with her discipline as far as with food. But that was on my mom's side. So on my dad's side, everyone ate soul food and things like that. So I'm a very balanced woman. And so growing up, when I started getting into health and wellness, I still had that desire to eat different things and be able to do the things that I wanted to do as I traveled the world, because I was exposed to different cultures and different foods. And in that exposure, when I got back home, I had to really realize that life is about balance.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're losing weight and we're in the gym or we eat it healthy, it's no longer, oh, I feel fat. It's no longer, oh, I'm too skinny, I want to gain weight. It's all about, am I healthy? How's my mind feeling? How's my heart? How's my energy feeling? Do I feel drained? Did I take enough vitamins for the day? Because do I have enough sun in my life? Because a lot of times as black women, too, we don't speak on this. If we're not under the sun, we're from the Midwest, like I am. I'm a Chicago girl. So if I'm not under the sun, my vitamin D levels might be low. Mm-hmm. And so I might need to go take extra doses of vitamin D, or I might need to go get a prescription, call in to my doctor, and get a vitamin D prescription written. Because if I don't have enough vitamin D, that's when a feeling of depression can come in. Mm. That's when a feeling of I don't want to get out of my bed can get in. Mm. And sometimes as business owners, and even as a woman who is well-traveled, when you're going to all these different places, sometimes you really desire to go to some of these places because during wintertime, because you're seeking the sun.
Yes.
And so that's why you have some people that's called snowbirds. You know, they leave where the cold is and they go to where the warm weather is. And so as a business owner, it's so important to understand the dynamics of your life, what's your why, not only what's your why, what are your personal affirmations that you speak in the mirror to yourself. And I love it when you said you went through the lost and found of PSA and they had your laptop, but they didn't have the proper infrastructure at first.
Yeah.
Even though when you don't have the proper infrastructure in place in any business, you do have to have patience, but at the same time, if you're a business owner, it's so important to identify when your infrastructure is not put in place.
Yeah.
Because that can turn down a client or that can turn on a client to your business. And
right.
So what I'm learning is in my journey of education, whenever you're on a journey and you're doing something new, it's so hard to make a decision to announce it to the world, because if you announce something to the world, we're living in a world where you can go viral in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And so hypothetically speaking, if you as a business owner will go viral today, is your infrastructure in place?
Right.
And a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, we're not in place. We're always upgrading ourselves as things come up, because in reality, as business owners, we don't always have the time or the energy to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to work on how next year infrastructure will be. Every small business owner does not have that luxury of time. And so I think it's so important to write that in your goals. I think that's so important to remind yourself of that when you have downtime, to just try to prepare for your next level. Because no one stays at this level. Just like at TSA, we can be in a line, and we all know if we have TSA pre-check, or if you are a global girly, we know if we're going through global, and we're going to go put our eyes to the machine.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a line, you have to wait.
Yeah.
But you put the proper infrastructure in place so that you can go put your eye in the machine.
Right.
Yeah.
You put the proper infrastructure in place when you put your finger on the machine, and you got to pull for that background, that fingerprint, your urine test, all that stuff through TSA pre-check. So you're federally cleared, but you still might have to wait in the line.
Yeah.
So infrastructure is very important, not just in our business life, but also in our personal life. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I love to read books, right? But one of my favorite books that I read is called Make Your Bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I make my bed. Because it's a message to my body that's saying, hey, we're not going back in here today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serving you notice because I have purpose to do, and we're not going back in here because this is not the meeting room right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna revisit you, bed, but we're not going to do that right now.
Not right
so now,
now
we're going to transition to the next thing on the agenda.
Right. I got a quick question before I go. I know there are a lot of different, cultural things that happen when you go to place to place. And
absolutely.
I expect practices that you might not be familiar with. In all of your travels, what was the most surprising experience you had? Like, they do that here? You know, that you weren't expecting.
Okay, so I was just telling my friend this. It's so funny that you guys are mentioning that. I was actually in Hong Kong. I was in China. And in China, like, all of the hotels are small. for the most part. The apartments are small. If you get a condo, it's small. Pretty much everything you get in Hong Kong is small. And I was just like, why is it small? Like, all Asian people from Asian descent are not small people. So why culturally do they make the architecture value to be so small versus how America is made? And so I was out to eat with a friend, and we were ordering different things on the menu. And I really appreciated that when I was in China, one, everything was family style.
Mm.
In America, everybody is so selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to get this, you get this. No, I don't eat that. No, you're going to get your stuff. This is my bill. That's your bill. That's American fine dining. So I took 16 hours on a flight to get to Hong Kong to only realize that I was not that type of person. And I never knew why I never liked eating like that, because I have always been a family-oriented person. And so when I was in China at the table, I remember the waitress bringing me my food, and I was like, oh, my God, this was so tasty. So we was looking because, you know, you in another country, you being nosy, looking for the table to your left and the table to your right. Everyone was eating family style.
Now, is that when it's like one platter and everybody gets in at one platter? Is that what family style is?
So family style is I might order a plate of chicken. I might order a plate of greens. I might order some spinach. I might get some crab ragoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So family style is not, that's my crab ragoon. This is our crab ragoon for the table.
Yeah, I had that recently in South Korea. It's for the table. And it's not just, oh, this is my whole thing. No, you're sharing this. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so what really blew my mind was not just that, just to expound a little bit further, another table was getting their order, and it was some chicken. And I, throughout the whole trip, I was a little nervous to try different meats because I didn't want my stomach to act up because I had a lot of adventures and excursions set up. So I'm an excursion girly. I would rather do the excursions over the food or do the food after the excursion because I know I want to do the excursion. And sometimes when you go to different countries, the different foods can kind of mess with the sensitivity of your body because it's so fresh. And here a lot of foods that we eat are very processed. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a little bit longer in America for things to go through my body versus overseas. So I didn't order a lot of meat or anything. But this one particular table to my right, just to answer your question, had ordered this chicken. The chicken was on fire.
Oh,
it was like it was like a chicken fajita, like the fire was coming out of it and stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, that's right up my alley. Like, I wouldn't know to order that off the menu. So the Asian lady looked at me, and she said, oh, my God, you like this chicken? I said, yes, it looks amazing. She said she took the plate. It was on fire. They put it out. She said, have some.
Wow.
I said, have some. I said, you didn't even touch it. She said, no, it's okay. Have some.
Wow.
I took a piece of the chicken out of respect.
Wow.
I took a piece of chicken because I'm really OCD, so I'm like, oh, if you touch it, I'm not going to touch it. Like, I'm just that type of person. and especially if I don't really know you, like, I'm just not really friends with my food like that. I'm not going to be, exactly. I'm not going to act like I'm just a share off my plate all the time. And so when she did that and she didn't even touch it, I said, wow, okay, I'm going to, out of respect, try it.
Yeah.
The chicken was amazing.
Wow.
But culturally, that one man taught me a standard.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it really impacted my life because it allowed me to see as a woman, one, you don't have to time to be selfish when you're dining. Yes, you're dining with the person you're out of town with, but also open up your circle. Keep your circle open because a lot of times we develop this Drake mentality, like, no new friends, you know. And it's like, no, you need new friends. You need people. We have to constantly be in a state of finding our tribe. Every season of your life, your tribe is changing. You might have people that have been in your tribe for years, and they might need to come and have backstage access to your life.
I like that.
You might have people who have been backstage in your life for your whole entire life. And they might need to get escorted to the balcony section.
Ooh.
Because if you have a calling on your life to go to Africa or to go to Hong Kong or to go to South Korea or to go to Venezuela or whatever God might be calling you to go on your journey, everybody backstage can't go if they don't have a passport.
Right.
Whoa. That's right.
If somebody backstage have child support, they passport and are going to work when they get to the
home.
If you got that one friend who, she's too ghetto, but you love her, you might not can't go because you might not can't respect the rules respectfully.
Right. Yeah. That's important.
If you got that one friend and she can't experience fine dining here in America with you, and she's all in her cell phone, she might not can be the one that you go take to Dubai or to Abu Dhabi and wrap and be able to have some rice and chicken with some cake.
Wow.
Right.
That's
not that you're better. It's not that you believe that you're better. It's just that your opportunity and where you're going is entirely different from some of the people that's backstage with you. So as we approach the spring, and in the spring, we always talking about we want to get summertime fine. We want to get our bodies together. We want to prepare. I remember as a little girl, my grandmother used to always say, it's time to do spring cleaning.
There you go. That's the thing.
So when spring cleaning comes, we have to deep clean. We have to go in and throw them clothes out we wasn't using. We got them. We could fit them, but we not using them. They're not in alignment to where you're going. So if you're on your way to Abu Dhabi and you're going to Dubai, we already know you shouldn't be packing a short, sexy dress.
Right.
You shouldn't be packing those shorts.
You don't know, and they will be inappropriate and then get turned away when they come out inappropriate.
Right.
I'll be listening.
Okay.
So much for that story. That's something to remember.
Didn't I tell you she was a powerhouse?
Absolutely.
She is definitely.
Make sure you call in if you got something you want to ask. 515-605-9325 or 777-731-5192 because we want to talk to you. And look, you think you're on the Female Solution. Round with Deborah.
Thank you, Naima. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Tavy. You know, I truly, truly appreciate everything that you've shared thus far. What are your aspirations for your future?
For my future, I think my aspirations would be to reach my highest potential as a human being and always be at a space where I can have more freedom with my time. That's really my ultimate dream and my ultimate goal is to just have more freedom with my time. Because a lot of people, what I realize is everyone's chasing the house, everyone's chasing the cars, everyone is chasing this lifestyle. But ultimately, a lifestyle is a lifestyle of peace for me. And so peace looks like being able to have a little bit more freedom with your time, to be able to do the things that you really desire to do. But as you're doing the things you're desiring to do, you're also moving in your purpose. And so I'm excited about that. And also reaching back to the next generation and sharing the things that I have learned. And I'm already doing that by assisting with the children and teaching the next generation, like, how to develop their skills. And so in different ways, not just with hair, you know, not just with lifestyle things, but also with health and wellness. And I think that's very important. And as we do that as human beings, I honestly feel like that's really my sole purpose and that's really my desire. Like the cars, the clothes, all that stuff, I've had all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in a space where I've had it and I've been in a space where it has been taken away from me. I've been in a space where I've had things back again. And so material possessions is not aspirations for me any longer. I think for me, my aspirations is to have quality time with my family, my friends, the people I love, and be able to spend quality time with myself and also have a healthy life. So that's really my life goal or my aspiration. But along the way, of course, I'm going to touch people by different businesses that I choose to do. And I'm going to make sure that every day I'm working on my goals to reach my highest self. Because every day we have a responsibility to show
every
us
day.
That's every
right.
day.
Every day. Every day. Every moment. You are absolutely right. And I certainly hope that the children that you are in charge of right now will because that is something that there is a lack of when it comes to the children of the world today. We need more and more. Now, how many children are you working with, and is this going to be an ongoing situation, and how can folks get in touch with you to talk to you further?
My Instagram is Tavia Sales, and on Facebook I'm LaTavia Wright, and I also have a Tavia Sales on Facebook as well. But feel free to reach out, just send me an inbox. I do answer my social media, and all of my information is on my social media as well. It's the same name that's also on screen, so it's very simple. And those are my social media tags. And as far as with the children, I have about a total of about 30-something children, and with them, the program is growing. They're taking me to different facilities. I have a 6-month contract with one school right now, and so it's growing, you know, and infrastructure is something that I'm definitely working on, and I'm definitely trying to get better and better with every day. And so I feel like the more and more that you're doing, sometimes when I have to relax from traveling so much and being on the go, it's so important to take time to handle administrative work. And that's the part that a lot of people who are like field people or get up and go-getters, a lot of us, like with that type of personality, we don't really like a lot of administration work. And whenever you get contracts, and whenever you're having conversations about the next level, the infrastructure definitely is very important. So that's one of the things that I'm really learning.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. It's so much in this world that we have to get across to people, not only to the children, but also to our peers. I noticed that on a regular basis, you provide a statement through your social media to help encourage people. And I'm sure you're speaking to yourself as well. But one of the messages that I see is be in the room where you can learn something. Don't be in the room that you only – could you talk about that a little bit?
I talk about that because I feel like in your circle, you shouldn't be the highest one in your circle. A lot of my friends are winners. A lot of my friends are business owners. A lot of my friends are 6-7-figure owners, you know. And when I'm in that room, I'm not in that room to always open up my mouth and speak. Now, I am worthy to speak, and I do speak when I feel led to speak. But when you're in a circle with people who can pour, you also have to be in a space where you can receive the pour back. If you're not at that space, you're not being teachable. Even if I know something already and I'm very familiar with the topic or idea or a conversation at that hand, sometimes I will take the back seat and I will let the people that's involved in the conversation drive the conversation. Then if I have an idea that only adds value to the conversation, I'll open my mouth. I won't open my mouth to speak an opinion that's going to tear down. I won't open my mouth to say something that's not on topic because I believe in respecting people's time and I believe in adding value to the conversation. And so that's very important to me to always be teachable because even if I know, even if I think I know, how much more can I possibly learn more on that topic? So I think being teachable is the word that I will use. And I encourage people through social media. It's my only reason for doing it. I don't get paid for social media. I don't have any companies or Google ads or anything that's paying
right.
for social media. So I'm not getting paid off my algorithm or anything. It's just, this is really my heart. This is my gift of service. This is my lifestyle. Now, one day will I get paid once the proper infrastructure is in place? Absolutely, I believe that can happen. But money is not my focus right now.
Yeah, I
that's not my goal.
Gift of service. I like that line. Gift of service. We should all do more gifting of service. It's been,
absolutely.
Oh, this time has been too short. So, you know, my next statement is, or question, however you want to take it, will you come back?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I am excited. It was such a blessing to have you here. And I know my time is short. Maybe we can have you on a little longer. Maybe we can target some specifics. You know, you tell me, because you are a powerhouse, and I so am appreciative of you being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know I love you. And we'll see you again soon. Remember, Tavy Styles on Forms. Check it out. There she is in love and color, full of life. Full of life and living purposefully, being purposeful. I love you. Okay, we're going to go to our last commercial break, which is something that is going to be really key for our next season. And then we're going to bring in a hot potato, another hot potato, something that is more local. For us, but it is so important. Let me just go to our station break right quick, and I'm going to be the commentator on our station break here. next third Saturday, which is April 20th, we're going to be partying, being in full effect with our own Asada. Asada is our Tuesday host, and she is the curator, authoress of the Chicago Book Fair. Now, let me tell you something about the Chicago Book Fair. It's the soulful Chicago Book Fair. It is one of the only in the country, and it is a powerhouse. If you're not here tuning in on Tuesdays, of course, we're here every day from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and back again Monday with a full selection of our hosts. But on the Saturday, the next third Saturday, which is Move Around with the Board Day, we are going to be moving around, and we're going to be joining us at Betty Shabazz Academy, 7823 South Ellis in Chicago, Illinois. You could certainly have time to get here. If you are an author, catch a plane, catch a train, get on the highway, do what you have to do. Reach out and be here Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you want more information, please reach out to SoulfulChicagoBookFair.com. Again, SoulfulChicagoBookFair.com. It is an event that you have not seen in a long time. We're getting these book fairs back on the map. And with Asada taking care of it, join us Tuesday. Don't forget Monday with Zelda, Mindfulness. Naima's here on Wednesdays. We're shopping with Zoe on Thursdays. We're getting our health and wellness together on Fridays with Beata. Saturdays, we have a multitude of hosts Next Saturday is the fourth Saturday where the children, remember I showed you the children's break a little earlier. If you have children who are talented in many ways, they could write, they could act, they could recite poetry, they could be an artist, they can, you know, put together different games or, you know, creativeness, make sure that they join in and sign up for the teen talent contest. Excuse me. Everything can be found on our website, thefemalesolution.com, thefemalesolution.com. Are you ready? This is voting season. Yeah, this is the year of the vote. And me in Chicago, I get my ballot, like, way in advance. Some folks don't. Some folks wait until they get to the ballot box, and then they see all these things, all these names, and they did not do their research. How are you going to efficiently vote for somebody if you don't know anything about them or if you don't know what's on the ballot? What's the questions on the ballot? So I have a powerhouse here, and I'm going to bring him in now. Hello to the tax doctor. How are you, Mr. Travis?
I am fantastic.
You're fantastic. I am so glad that you're here, and you're here to talk about
taxes.
And this important question, this ballot question, number one, it's also known as Bring Chicago Home. It will fund housing by asking corporations and wealthy real estate developers who profit from housing, who profit from the housing crisis, to pay their fair share. This question, it's not just one question. It's a three-part question, and it takes up the whole back end of your ballot. Hello. Yeah. If you don't know yet, this is all one question. Can you kind of help us in understanding? We hear the commercials. We hear this person say it's good, this person say it's bad. Can you kind of break it down what this is about and talk to us about taxes? I know we only have a few minutes, but please talk to us as much as you can cram in.
Well, what we have to understand that our state, Illinois, New York, California, have a homeless problem that is second to none. And so the mayor of Chicago decided that we have to come up with a way to bring in new revenue to help the homeless. And so they came up with Bring Back Chicago, Come Back Home, however you want to call it. The point is this. When you look at the millionaires of our state, number one, they're not paying their fair share of taxes. Put on the stamp, the transfer stamp. That's a one-time tax. So, contrary to the commercials you're seeing, whereby your tax is going to go up, that's not true because it has nothing to do with your property taxes. This issue only deals with millionaires and developers who have $1 million worth of property or they live in a mansion. And so when they get ready to sell it, that's when that fee kicks in.
Okay, so here's the thing. In me explaining part of this or just putting out that you were going to be on the air today,
yes.
Someone said to me, oh, that's the tax to help the migrants.
No, it's not the tax to help the migrants. It's the tax to help the homeless. Now, we're in a situation where when we were slaves, and and you use the Underground Railroad, somebody had to help us. And who was those individuals? Abolitionists. So they let us flee from the South to the North, and somebody had to put up capital to give us room and board. We're in a situation where we got a lot of homeless people, and some of the homeless people is not the homeless. A woman with children got a divorce, lost a job, couldn't pay the rent. What is she going to do? She's going to go to the streets. If you had a good job and you lost your job, and you couldn't pay your rent, what you going to do? You're going to go to the streets. We live in one of the richest countries in the world, part of Armenia. We shall always have affordable housing for the citizens of this country and for those folks who are fleeing a dangerous situation that they did not cause. Corporate America and our government are the issues in Central America that's making these people flee their homes. If you are a mother with children and you have no life in Central America, what are you going to do? You're going to pack your bag and try to get to the land of milk and honey. The United States is the land of milk and honey for a lot of people, whether you Ukraine, from any parts of Europe, Haiti, Mexico, you want to come here. Everybody want to come here because of the land of milk and honey. Now, the problem we have is that they said they didn't have no money for black folks. They didn't have no money. The migrants hit us in this country. They would, I hate to say this, but the government went into their damn mattress and found a whole lot of money. Okay? Now, they couldn't find the money for us now, but they found this money for the migrants. I ain't got a problem with that. I have a problem when you don't give us our fair share of the pie in the land of the milk and honey. That's the problem I have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now, let me ask you this, getting back to this question on this ballot. To break it down to understand, now, we know what it is supposed to be directed to.
Yes.
We kind of know, but when you see a commercial that says, because I'm renting and my rent is going to go up, could you explain to those people
first of all, who are not
getting it? Because they see that commercial. Oh, these people are not lying to me.
First of all, your rent cannot be going up. And a fee was added to that transfer stamp. Now, because the fee was added to the transfer stamp, that's a one-time fee. Property taxes is a tax that you pay every year. Primary example, 299, which is district, it's your high school in Chicago, that's 299. They put out a levy on that tax, say $100. So the people that rent going to see their rent go up because the owner of the property taxes went up. You got your property taxes, and then you got your transfer stamp tax. The transfer stamp tax is a one-time tax.
And that's what this is targeting. The transfer stamp, and that's the transfer stamp who will, and the person who is taxed is the purchaser.
Yes.
Not the seller, the purchaser.
Yes.
So it should be all encompassed in that purchase price and not be filtered off repetitively to the renter.
Absolutely.
And that is based on properties that is priced over $1 million, is it?
Yes, $1 million and up.
Okay, so you live in, say you live in the neighborhood, and you live in a six-flat.
Yeah.
I think I gave you this scenario. And that six-flat property is only valued at $500,000. And somebody coming in, No?
So, you know, major scamp cats, like the million-dollar property would be.
Right.
So, therefore, if I'm a renter in that $500,000 piece of property, if the guy sell it, his stamp tax is not going to meet the threshold of $1 million transfer tax.
Right. Now, if anybody is online and listening in and you have something different, a different perspective, or you have a question about this most important item on the ballot that you need to know about, you know, you have questions or you didn't even know it was on the ballot. Some people are oblivious to even what's going to be on the ballot. But let me tell you something. Each time the ballot comes out or they structure it, excuse me, a month before, they know what's going to be on the ballot. So you should be getting the information. The wide world web is full of information.
Yes. and
you should be getting this information. On this ballot, even though it's a primary and the ballots are targeting your specific official statement as to what party you're affiliated with, there's always a spot where you can do a write-in. So here they're talking about the President of the United States, U.S. Representative for a couple of different districts, the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, and then, let's see, Clerk of Circuit Court, State's Attorney, Board of Review for 3rd District, Supreme Court, judges. Now we get into the judges. And it's a whole list of them. How do you know who to pick and choose when you get to the ballot if you're not researching?
Well, that's the problem, because a lot of times these judges, the only way they can get around and see you if they are invited by different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a common issue in our state for the past 50-some years, because when it comes to the back of the ballot where you have down there 1,000 judges, and I know I'm over-exaggerating that issue, but that's what it seems like every time I go and vote, and I have to vote for all these judges. We're gonna have to learn to do a better job catering the property to somebody on these judges. Some of these judges don't need to go back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of times people skip over some of these judges because they don't know who they are.
Right.
And they can win with one vote and be a terrible judge. But
mm-hmm.
win with one vote.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is one judge that's up for election on this ballot that we are familiar with, one of our own hosts of the Female Solution, and that is Wendy Williams. And if you have been listening to the Female Solution radio show for a few years, Wendy was very instrumental in providing sound information. Especially her stance is she wants to educate you before you become standing in front of her. She is, you know, her legal stance was, you know, she's a lawyer, bred. Now she's running for a judge. And we want to, for those of you who are familiar with her, you can always go into the archives of the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio and hear some of her shows on how she wants to help the people. And now she's focusing on the youth, which is good because we have to help our children. We need to get our children. So I would suggest that you all go back into our archives and look for our Wendy Williams. And she is up for judge of the circuit court. There was a vacancy of Mitchell, and her punch number is 148. But go back and hear what she has to share with you about not getting in front of a judge. Do your due diligence before you even get in front of a judge, the judge. Now, I know we're not going to be here long, but you are part of We the People campaign.
Yes.
Reform without delay. You want to talk about that a bit?
Absolutely. First of all, I want your listeners to understand our state have a property tax crisis on top of a pension crisis and the fact that we have over 9,000 units of government that cost us $33.8 billion in property taxes. We have 859 school districts that cost us $20.8 billion. When you look at the comparison between Illinois and Florida, it should make you perk up and say enough is enough. When you look at them stats should blow your mind, folks. We have 12 million people in the state of Illinois. Florida got 20 million people. We got 102 counties. Florida has 67 counties. We have 859 school districts. Florida has, we got 1,925,415 students. They got 2,838,867 students. We got 2,241 students per district to their 40,555. Folks, what do you call doing the same stuff over and over and you get the same result? You call it insanity or stuck on stupid? I would like to say we stuck on stupid, people. Wake up! Folks, if we're going to save the state of Illinois and taxpayers, we got to get the schools off the property tax system. Back in 1970, we had a constitutional convention. That's how all this crap got messed up over the past 53 years. And we're saying we want the schools off the property tax system. We want to consolidate the school districts. We want to consolidate the counties. And folks, when you get your tax bill and we got the schools off the property tax system, you will see a 61.5% property tax cut right off the bat.
Hmm.
Will you love to see a 61.5% property tax cut?
Absolutely.
I think I would. So we're saying to you, work with We the People. My number, 773-988-0934. My email address is daddysclub2000@yahoo.com. We're doing this for you. I'm a veteran, and I'm service connected. I don't pay property taxes, people. I don't pay property taxes. But I'm out here fighting for you because I'm tired of seeing you lose your property, lose your business. Somebody can get a six-figure income. That's right, folks.
Mm.
When you look at the 859 school districts, you're looking at 859 superintendents that make anywhere between $150,000 to $400,000 a year, folks. They may only have one school, 100-some kids, but they're making $400,000 off of you. Folks, this is insanity. And when you look at that draft, that sign you put up, I posted, we the People campaign, we said, folks, it's time to overhaul this system. The people in Springfield, they know what to do, but they don't have a cavalry of people like us standing together and sending a strong message to Springfield.
It is again.
We want the taxes cut. We want the General Assembly to pick up the cost of funding education statewide like they do in Hawaii, California. They want to do it in Texas. They want to do it in Michigan. Folks, I received a phone call, and the voice on the other end said, Travis, we agree with you. We want the schools off the property tax system. But we don't support consolidation. My position is, if you just shift the burden over to the state, we must have consolidation with a liquidation and transformation of this system. And let me tell you, before, we got those three words from the governor of the state of Illinois. He said in 2020 in his address, property taxes is too high in our state. He said we got too many units of government. So he said we need consolidation. He said we need liquidation. And he said we need transformation or he said reform. I like to use the word transformation. More radical than just reform.
Okay.
Folks, I'm the tax doctor. I sat on the government task force for property tax relief. And instead of getting relief, folks, they hit us with SB 508. And they call that the recapture law. And what that means is, my sister, if you went before the Board of Review and you got a $1,000 tax cut, on the SB 508, everybody in your area got to help pay back that $1,000 the following year.
My Lord.
So that means their taxes going up the next year because you got a $1,000 tax break. Now, just imagine somebody got $1 million tax break. Everybody got to pay back that $1 million under the recapture law, known as SB 508.
Well, Travis, the tax doctor, I am so honored to have you on to kind of hopefully explain to some and to restate to others and make aware to others what is going on. And I certainly hope that we can get you back on to a show with a female solution so we can just get, we have to keep throwing it out there so people will start to understand. Stand and take control instead of having to sit back and just accept whatever is given. Oh, you are in control, especially when you have the opportunity to vote someone in.
Yes, and vote them out.
And vote them out if they're not doing what you're supposed to have them do. So thank you. I appreciate you.
Likewise, I would like to leave you with this. I would love to see you women come together, and let's have a woman meeting to get rid of property taxes. You don't have to have property taxes, people, to fund government. I want y'all to understand that. You do not need property taxes to fund government.
Okay. Well, bless you. I thank you for my audience who spent time to join us today. It was certainly a pleasure, And now we're going to have to say aloha.
Aloha.
Yes.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Hasan Wasaba. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadek. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us